Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. My guest is the number one New York Times bestselling author Brad Meltzer, who's out with two new books for children in his Ordinary People Who Changed the World series. I Am Marie Curie and I Am Walt Disney are now available wherever books for children are sold. Brad, for any of these children's books you've written over the years, how much research do you do into the lives of your subject before you start writing this book yourself?
Listen, I can't do it without doing it that way. I started this series because I was tired of my kids turning on the TV and on the internet and seeing fame everywhere. Everyone's famous. And what I wanted to teach my kids was that fame is not important. What's important is character, is good values. And if I'm going to do that with these historical heroes, I got to get those details right. There's no story like a true story. So for this one, you know, we started with I'm Amelia Earhart and I'm Abraham Lincoln. We did Rosa Parks and Albert Einstein. For my son who loves sports, I did I Am Jackie Robinson. For my daughter who loves our dog and loves animals, we did I Am Jane Goodall. And I've even done Jim Henson. But my newest one is the most requested hero that we've done in the series. I Am Walt Disney. And you can't just say, hey, I love Disney World. You got to research his life. And, you know, this is a personal one for me, my friend, because every year, once a year on the way to school, rather than going to school, we live in Florida, we actually drive away and I drive my kids on a surprise trip to Disney World. And I do it because I want to teach them that every day there can be magic in your life. And for me, Walt Disney stands for the idea, you know, here's a man who created real magic. And he did it not by just always succeeding, but he failed over and over and over again. And I wanted to show my kid that. When he's a little kid, his dad, Walt Disney's own dad, doesn't support his art. He paints on the side of the house one day, gets into huge trouble. He daydreams in class. The teachers are like, stop daydreaming and drawing. But Walt Disney persists, and it doesn't even stop there. His first movie that he makes is a total failure. They're like, you got to declare bankruptcy. At 21 years old, he has to sleep in his office, and he's showering in the train station, taking baths there. And I need my kids to learn that you don't get all the great success until you go through all the failures. And I love that Walt Disney stands for that idea.
Well, I chuckled as I read the book because I remember back when I was a teenager, I thought Walt Disney was a cartoon character until, you know, maybe I was a teenager because it's just, he's got that name about him. But, and then I learned in your book, he grew up in the Midwest. How much of that Midwest upbringing down in Missouri was influenced what he did the rest of his life?
Yeah, listen, it was vital where, you know, he grew up, as you said, in Missouri. That was his happy place. It was a small town called Marceline. And, you know, there was a railroad that ran through town, big green fields, weeping willows, had a main street. And guess what happened when he got older? You know, he used to study all these parks around the country. He'd take his daughter to merry-go-rounds. And he'd be like, you know, there's nothing for the parents to do here. It's so boring. And he said, I'm going to study parks around the country that people do love to go to. So he studied Gettysburg and everything else. And what he said is, we're going to make a place. There's all these different lands. There's going to be a Tomorrowland of the future. There's going to be one of yesterday. There's going to be a fantasy land. They're like, what about today? He's like, no, nothing of today is going to be here. And what he built, as you know, from Main Street USA, with a train that kind of runs right down the center, is, you know, we all think he was building yesteryear. He was building his yesteryear. He was building his happy place. And one of the themes of the book is that, you know, Fantasyland is not a fake place. It's real. We all have that happy place, and we can all use some magic in our lives. And if you look, it's there. And to me, you know, one of the most important things you'll see when you read I Am Walt Disney, you know, again, this is a children's biography book. It's an illustrated biography book by an amazing artist with an art style that's like Calvin and Hobbes meet Charlie Brown. So it makes the characters come to life. But the character that comes most to life is you get to see that Walt Disney invents this brand new character. And he calls him Mortimer Mouse. And his wife is like, Mortimer Mouse, that's a horrible name. That's literally what she said. That's a horrible name. And she says, why don't you call him Mickey? And that's how the world gets Mickey Mouse. It's not some great success. In fact, Mickey's first cartoon doesn't succeed. But again, Walt Disney keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. And that's how magic tricks are done. And I need my kids to learn that. I need to learn that work ethic, that Midwestern work ethic, really.
Would Walt Disney have been considered a prodigy in animation?
No, he's not a prodigy. What he is, and I say this, you know, he's basically just he understands what people like, and there's a real power in that. You know, when he starts working, he works for an advertising company, but when he's working for this advertising company, they have these advertisements that they show before the movies, and the ads have something that was just starting back then. It's called animation. And he sees it, and he's like, man, no one's doing this. Let's try this. So he's no prodigy. He doesn't invent it. The thing that he is he's completely creative. And this is where he's genius. You know, back then, he goes into his office. They put a screen up in the front of the office, and he puts a movie on the screen. And while everyone's watching, he actually puts the projector in the next room so you can't hear it running. And then he has a band come outside his door and start playing. And suddenly, as everyone's watching, you know, back then you couldn't have music to film, he syncs up the band with the cartoon, and people lose their minds. It's called Steamboat Willie. And people are like, what is this? It's a total amazing invention that he comes up with. It's an innovation that's unheard of at that time. And that's not a prodigy, you know. Walt Disney is an ordinary person. He's not some magical creature. He's not some invention of himself. He's just an ordinary person from the Midwest who just does what he loves. And he loves to draw. He loves to daydream. And he just also loves to work hard. That's the one thing that's the real core of his success. Not everything works. But when it doesn't, he figures out how to make it work.
Well, he wasn't some financial success right off the bat. So where did he get his funding to even get his foot in the door? Was this just sweat labor he put into this?
It was sweat labor, but he also was, you know, he convinced a woman who lived in California, who is a woman named Margaret Winkler. And his first big break comes from her. She's one of the most successful animation distributors in the country. And he pitches her this idea called Alice's Wonderland. And she orders the series. And, you know, that's like any, you know, all of us have someone who took a chance on us, right? Think right now of someone, the first person who told you you were good at something, the first person who gave you your first real job. For Walt Disney, it was this woman named Margaret, who was a distributor. She took a chance. We all owe those people a thank you, right? When you're done listening here and you're done ordering I Am Walt Disney and I Am Marie Curie and whatever other books you want to buy from our series, I appreciate that. But the more important thing you can do is go say thank you to that person. Track them down, find that person who took a chance on you, and go say thank you. Then you become the hero in their life.
I'm chatting with Brad Meltzer about his two brand new books for children, I Am Marie Curie and I Am Walt Disney. They're available now wherever children's books are sold. And, you know, getting over to Marie Curie a little bit here, I didn't know much about her, I must admit, before I read this book. I kind of knew she was a scientist, but that's all. I'm from a Polish background, and I was really interested to learn she was Polish. I mean, I never would have gotten that.
Yeah, no, I mean, one of the things that's important that we have to know that for is where she lives. The Russian government doesn't want Polish kids to learn about science. They think that education is going to make them dangerous, that it's going to make them powerful. And you know what? They're absolutely right. She just becomes this little girl who loves math, who loves science, and she's really good at it. The problem is at the time that they didn't let kids learn science. They didn't let girls be scientists. So when she's, you know, it's amazing, when she's 16 years old, she learns that she knows she wants to make an impact on this world. She even knows how. She says, I want to be a scientist. But where she lived, the college, the university, didn't accept women. And they're like, sorry, no girls allowed. That's not fair. And she winds up going to this place called the Flying University. The Flying University is a secret college, a place where they secretly, against the rules, teach women the subjects that no one else will teach them. The Flying University doesn't really fly, right? But it has 1,000 women, and it teaches them about the periodic table, about hydrogen, about oxygen. And suddenly, Marie Curie is unlocked. She starts saying to her dad, please tell me more math problems. Please tell me how to do this. But the moment, you know, every book has to have that moral lesson, that character lesson for my kids. And for Marie Curie, it's right there in the book. You know, she has puts these test tubes together, says, I'm going to try this experiment. It blows up in her face. She said, I'll try it again this way, and it blows up in her face. Let's try it this way, and it blows up in her face. Let's try it this way, and it blows up in her face again. And guess what happens when she tries it again? You better believe it blows up in her face again. But eventually, she succeeds. And again, just like it's why she went with Walt Disney, it's the hard work. It's the making change is not easy. It takes that hard work, but that's how you succeed. And along the way, what Marie Curie does is she studies this chemical element called uranium. We all know what uranium is, but back then no one knew what it was. She realized that there are rays that come out of it. And she invents a name for what's coming out of it, this energy that comes out of it. She calls it, and she invents the term, radioactivity. That's where we get the word radioactivity from. This woman scientist that no one wanted to teach. And she wins a Nobel Prize. Back then, no woman, she's the first woman to win a Nobel Prize. They didn't even want her speaking at the ceremony because they didn't want women there. And then she wins a second Nobel Prize. She's the first person, man or woman, to win two Nobel Prizes in two different categories. And she never, ever lets it stop her. She keeps plowing forward. At one point, she's so famous that here in the United States, she gets invited to the White House. And President Harding presents her with a gram of radium in a locked box. It was worth more at the time than $100,000. And it was a gift from the women in America who had saved up so that their hero, this amazing female scientist, could study science and make more breakthroughs. And my gosh, what an inspiration that is for my kids, right? For my sons and for my daughters. And it's the same idea. You won't always find the answers you expect when you, you know, when you try to, when you ask questions and you experiment. You're going to fail and fail and fail again. But you will find new information. You will find new questions. And you'll find new possibilities. And I love that people use this book for their kids, their grandkids, their nieces and nephews to teach them those lessons.
I would think as a father, as you wrote the Marie Curie book, you had to feel something for her father, because here he's got this brilliant daughter who he knows deserves every opportunity, but he's hamstrung by the government. That's got to be such a feeling of helplessness for a father, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, and the thing that's amazing is, the dad never gives up on her. In fact, even when she has a kid, it's the dad who babysits, an unheard-of feat at the time. But it was very important to me to show that this female scientist was pushed forward. You know, her mom passed away, so she's living, you know, she has just this dad. In fact, they have such little money that when they decide that her sister's going to college, they say someone's going to college, but they can only afford to send one of them. So Marie Curie says to her sister, you go first. When we make some money, then I'll go. And man, you know, we all want our kids to have better values, to have more perspective in life. There's no better way to give it to them than to show them real life stories that happen. And, you know, at the end of every book, you'll see, whether it's Walt Disney or Marie Curie, there's a real picture at the end of the book of who they are. And I can tell you stories. You know, one of my favorite stories is a friend of mine, his daughter's reading I Am Rosa Parks with her. And they're reading the book together, and they get to the end, and the daughter says, wait, this really happened? Sees the picture of Rosa Parks. Says, this really happened? And there's nothing like, you know, it's great to read about, you know, magical dragons and other, you know, fake creatures, but there's nothing like giving your kid a real story, because every book starts with these heroes when they were kids. You see Walt Disney when he's a boy. You see Marie Curie when she's a little girl. And kids, when you read it with them, realize that these aren't the stories of famous people. This is what we're all capable of on our very best days. And that's what the I Am series, the Ordinary People Change the World series, is really about, is unlocking that potential, that real potential in every single one of us.
From a pure writer standpoint, when you write these children's books, I think about, I had a friend of mine who's a graduate professor in political science, and he always told me that it is harder than heck to write a 2-page paper versus a 10-page paper. It's hard to make it tight. Do you find that between writing a thriller and writing this, that to write something where you have to make the story very, very tight, that's about as difficult a task as you can imagine?
Yeah, no, that's the trick, right? I mean, if I was going to write a big biography for adults, I'd have 300 pages to play with. I basically have about 36 pages to play with in these books. They're children's books, right? They're for the youngest of kids. And, you know, obviously kids read them in first grade to fourth grade. You know, I have my 17-year-old son read them because he just likes the information on them. But the reality is I got 36 pages and just a few words per page to tell their story. And each of these people, I can promise you, they're amazing. When we did I Am Abraham Lincoln, I have enough extra information, I could do a whole nother book. Same with George Washington. You know, Walt Disney has, you know, how many things he's accomplished in his life? But you're like, what do I include? And one of the big things, you know, I can include every movie and everything, but that's not what makes him great. What makes him great is he took the profits from the movie, and he started his own university, right? In California, he started this amazing thing. And we show it in the book. You'll see at the end of the book, it's called the California Institute of the Arts. And CalArts trains the next generation of people who create in art, design, film, theater, music, dance. Graduates of it are people like Tim Burton, Sofia Coppola, Don Cheadle, Andrew Stanton, who worked on Finding Nemo, or Brad Bird, who does The Incredibles. All of them graduated from this place and this college that Walt Disney funded. That's what legacy is, right? It's what you leave behind. It's not just entertainment. It's what you do for other people. That's what gets remembered.
Well, this is just an amazing series for children, and I know that my nieces and nephews read these books and love them, and they are anywhere from ages 3 to 15. So, Brad Meltzer, the books are I Am Marie Curie and I Am Walt Disney. They're in his Ordinary People Change the World series. If you haven't tapped into this series yet for your kids, go buy the rest of the books, too, because they're just phenomenal. Brad, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for doing this as a service to a lot of kids and young readers out there.
No, and listen, Brian, I always appreciate you looking out for me and looking out for the series and looking out for the kids, and not just your nieces and nephews, but all those out there who especially today need some inspiration in their lives. So thank you for letting us tell the story, and thanks to everyone for supporting the I Am series.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.